All right, Walt, welcome to the 2022-2023 season. I think the biggest thing to see what is going on with the Buffalo Sabres is what was just released today. If you are listening to this on Thursday, we are recording Wednesday night. The Sabres, essentially season preview, which is just like the draft guide. First, how are you doing? Second of all, let's preview that before we get into everything else, because I know you worked really hard on it. It looks awesome. It's a great read. We even saw a preview with the Matias Samuelsson thing. So first of all, how are you doing, Walt? And second, what can people expect from that?
Oh, yeah, doing pretty good. It's looking forward to the Sabres season to start. And the player profile preview that we have coming out today, you should be able to find it. I mean, just on any social media platform for the Charging Buffalo. I pretty much do, like, we got a page on each player, like 25 players expected to play in the Sabres this season. I believe 8 profiles on some Rochester American players. And I also joined together with our prospect team, and we created a Charging Buffalo top 25 prospects, and we have a little bit of blurb on each of those 25 prospects. So that's coming out today. Really looking forward to everybody getting a chance to read it. And yeah, I think it'll be a nice little preview for this upcoming Sabre season that starts today.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it. It's something, again, like I said, you've worked hard on, all the guys have worked hard on. Again, it's the same quality graphics wise. Everything looks great. So I'm really excited for that, for everyone to read and for you guys to be able to release and show what you guys have done. So we've gotten a little housekeeping out of the way. The last little thing is, I think maybe last episode I said we were going to have a guest. Kind of fell down on the job there, honestly. So we don't have a guest on for today, but there is so much to talk about that I feel like it's probably not even going to matter, because we're really not going to need any filler. So let's start immediately with just kind of what's happened today, which is, again, Wednesday, and backtrack. So actually, before we get into any Sabres things, what was that ref doing when he decided to go on a huge spiel before dropping the puck against the Rangers and Lightning? I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if anyone saw that. Go look it up if you haven't. I just wanted to get your take on that. Without adding anything of mine, I just wanted to get your take on that.
I definitely thought it was pretty odd. I feel like a lot of things with NHL refs are odd.
It's just they don't seem like the most charismatic. And then you have Braden Point, like, are you kidding me, dude? And like kind of like lean onto one side. That was wild. So before we get into anything like that, I just wanted to bring that up, because that wasn't it. You know, sometimes you got to swing and you take a massive hack, and sometimes you miss. And that was a swing and a miss. So let's get into the Sabres stuff. We have two extensions, I should say, that were handed out. We're going to start with Granato, just because I think we kind of agree on this one a little bit more, at least just because of Samuelsson's a little bit more open-ended. So Don Granato signs a multi-year extension. What are your thoughts on that, and where do you see him progressing from taking this to, look, we're just developing players, to, okay, now we have players that have gotten older, and now we need to start pressing for the playoffs and sustaining, you know, playoff runs and all the things that come with the next step that we expect from the Sabres within the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, the Granato extension, I mean, really with any head coach extension in the NHL, it doesn't really matter too much to me, because, I mean, it's not like if you sign a guy long-term, you're stuck with him and you got to move him. Like, with a coach, you can just fire him, and it's only come out of the owner's pocketbook. So in terms of, like, term on contracts like that, it doesn't really matter too much to me. But I think Don Granato's definitely shown that he deserved an extension. I know Kevin Adams really went to bat for him, to ownership, to give him that extension. And, yeah, I mean, this season I can't imagine him being evaluated too harshly, really, because it seems like it's going to be another rebuilding year. But, I mean, maybe next season we'll start getting into more of a deeper evaluation of his coaching and the team success, and even more so 2 years from now. But, yeah, I think for now he's still got a nice little honeymoon phase, and I think I've liked what I've seen from him so far.
So you mentioned that he's going to have somewhat of a leash, essentially. And my thought process is, yeah, he'll have that within the Sabres organization, which is the one that matters probably the most, because, you know, they're the ones that are actually employing you. But I think fans this year have, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think they've gotten a little bit of, you know, what, over their skis, I guess is one of the phrases just gotten a little ahead of themselves in this rebuild, because they're still very early on in it, even though there's been a lot of positive signs and they ended last season very well. Does that mean I, you know, hope they don't do well this year? Of course not. If they make the playoffs, that's absolutely fantastic. Everyone wants that. But I think we're just tempering the expectations just a little bit. I mean, you can still expect them to make the playoffs and say, like, that's the standard, but really not expect it, if you know what I mean. So that's kind of where I'm at with things, especially with Granato, is, yeah, he's definitely going to have a leash. I just think it's going to be longer with the organization and management and ownership than it will be with some fans, some portion of the fans. I think a lot of people do realize that they still need some time and not hop on them too hard, but I could see, you know, a little slide here and there. I could see, you know, some people coming out of the woodwork saying, what are we doing with this guy? So that's not something, that's not a major concern that I have, but that is just one thing I wanted to note, that I think when it comes to his leash for upcoming years, it's going to be a little bit longer when it comes to management and a little bit shorter when it comes to fans. What are your thoughts on that? Or do you think I'm barking up the right tree there?
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of hard to read like ownership's take on the current state of the Sabres. I mean, it definitely seems like they're willing to just kind of let the vibes roll. And I mean, have the current group figure out how to work their way out of the hole they've been in for the past decade. And I mean, it seems like they've really given Kevin Adams the keys to the organization to kind of right the ship. I mean, we've seen it with the analytics department that he's instilled over the past year. That was something when he originally got the Sabres job, he wasn't even allowed to instill. We've seen the longer term contracts he's been able to hand out this summer. We've seen things like that. So I think ownership does have faith in Kevin Adams, and Kevin Adams does have faith in Don Granato. So, I mean, yeah, that's really one of the reasons why I think they'll have a bit of a longer leash to get their way out of this rebuild. I mean, especially since the ownership has experience with firing guys maybe a little too soon with, like, Darcy Regier, Tim Murray, Jason Botchell. I don't think they fired too soon, but, I mean, just a bunch of guys that they only had around for a few years, and then you pretty much have a new GM taking over that guy's leftovers. I mean, I can't see that current ownership wanting something like that again.
Yeah, and again, with the whole you can sign guys to extensions but still fire them, I mean, I think they finally just stopped paying off all the GMs and coaches, last year or something like that. I don't know exactly what's going on there. So you mentioned extensions, so let's get into it. Actually, before we get into it, real quick, your boy, Brad Lambert, signed his entry-level deal. It's literally the one right above Samuelson on Cap Friendly. So anyway, let's get into Matias Samuelson. It's the 7-year, $50 million contract. So he's going to be making, 4.28-ish and some change per year against the cap. What are your thoughts on it? I know this one divided people, and a lot of people showed their true colors. And I think a lot of, you know, prominent Sabres Twitter people, I haven't been very much a participant, but I have been able to kind of check in on Sabres Twitter recently. And I agree with mostly what I'm seeing is like, yeah, these national people that are basically like, I cannot believe this is the worst contract that's ever been handed out. I'm like, okay, maybe you don't exactly know who this guy is. Because for me specifically, he's even surprised me with where he's at. So like, I can't imagine that someone that doesn't watch the Sabres or follow their prospects or anything like that, you know, they would have a better understanding of, you know, where he's come from and where he's at and what this unlocks for some of his other teammates. So let's get your initial reaction and kind of go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really similar to me in the Tage Thompson regard where, I mean, I may not be as big of a fan of Samuelson as I am of Thompson. I mean, obviously Thompson's scored close to 40 goals last year is a little bit, I mean, not even much more proven, but a little bit more proven. But yeah, I think it's similar in that contract just because I think the best case scenario, the contract works out to be like good or okay. Worst case scenario, the contract becomes bad. Like, I really don't think it's a scenario where like, oh yeah, this contract's going to be an absolute steal down the road. I mean, I think he pretty much maxed out on the value he could have gotten on a 7-year deal. I mean, I maybe would have liked to seen a little bit more of a discount coming out of Samuelson's wallet for a 7-year deal. But, I mean, I guess I'll take it. I mean, he's a solid young defenseman. I think he's proven that he can be an effective NHLer albeit in a very small sample. But yeah, I mean, I think the contract is like just okay. Like, I don't think it's a contract worth like jumping up and down in the streets over. And I don't think it's a contract where like the world's ending. It's the worst contract ever. I think it's an all right contract. Like, it's very similar to the Tage Thompson contract, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's more for me. It was, yeah, this is another showing of one, we have faith in the young guys. And you know what? Whether this burns in flames or goes well or somewhere in the middle, they have chosen their core and they're sticking by it. And they're like, this is who we believe in. We're going with, you know, good people and good players and building this from the ground up with is exactly what we love about the Bills that they're trying to do, and, you know, and with the Sabres. I think it's just them trying to get ahead of the curve, just like with the Thompson contract, because I saw somewhere, it was a fan that commented, but they were like, yeah, we need to extend Michael Bunting 8 years times 8 million. And my initial thought was, oh my God, that's like $1 million more than what Thompson's making. This is Michael Bunting. Good player, but like Tage Thompson's like their number one center right now. So, and let's kind of look at some of the other things that are coming up. You have players like Mittelstadt, Olofsson, who else is going on here? Dahlin, Joakim Harju, which we'll kind of see how that goes. But you can even get Power at the beginning of next year, I believe, signed to an extension. I'm not 100% sure on that one. But I think it's just a hey, we're going to have to start handing out some other big contracts here. And, you know, let's even start thinking about guys like Savoy and Kulich and other guys. Like, I think they're really thinking ahead with this. I don't know. It's kind of like the, you know, would you rather wait and have to pay more, and maybe get less term while having to pay more, or do you just sign them to this long-term contract? Because completely different situations and positions. But the one thing I think about is with Thompson and Samuelson, with how they've handled it, is like I kind of wish they did that to Reinhardt. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
if this works, if it goes up in flames, yeah, it's going to be ugly. Yeah. Of course it is. Like, if these guys don't perform to their contracts, yeah, it's going to be absolutely terrible. It's going to be something like, you know, a Pozo or Skinner when, you know, things like that were happening, but they're going to be a
Yeah, I
lot
mean
tighter
it.
towards the cap. So it's
Yeah.
a, but if it works out well, like, it's, I'm not going to be jumping for joy, but if they play well, like, they can definitely play better than their, you know, what they're being paid. I definitely think that's a thing. I definitely think Mathias Samuelson can be a, in the next couple of years, be like a $6 million a year kind of player that he could fetch maybe on the open market. I know he's still a little young. Same with Thompson. God knows, like I said a couple episodes ago, like, this was the biggest, you know, case that I was looking at, because if Thompson goes out and he stinks this year, he's not going to get the extension that he was looking for. But if he goes out there and lights it up, the Sabres are going to be like, holy crap, we have to pay you upwards of, you know, more than Jeff Skinner, over $9 million a year. So, I think it just kind of opens up doors. And I also think when it comes to Mathias Samuelson, I think they're really just banking on him being the long-term partner for Dahlin. And I'm hoping that that kind of like lets Dahlin off the leash a bit, you know, make him feel a little bit more confident. He has his guy and he's going to be here for a while. So, you know, let's make the most of it. So that's my thoughts on it. It's nothing, you know, groundbreaking. I'm kind of with you. It's like not horrible, not great, but I can see what they're trying to do. And look, whether it goes up in flames or works out, I respect it. You know, they found their core. They genuinely believe in them, and they're trying to be proactive. And I mean, that's the best you can do. You know, I just kind of hope the one thing with Samuelson that really does concern me is the injuries, really. But I mean, when if it gets that bad, you put him on LTIR. But I mean, that guy just eats pucks, and that's at some point that's going to hurt. And so that's kind of where I'm at with Samuelson. Anything other? On Samuelson himself and maybe what this means to the team, or shall we move on?
Yeah, I mean, like, one other good thing about the contract is that even though the guy looks like he's 47, he's actually only 22 years old. So, when this contract kicks in, it'll be 23. When it expires, he'll be like 30. So, I think that's one upside of this contract is that you're paying a guy pretty young. Like, you're not handing out money to like a questionable like 25, 26 year old until he's like 34, 33. So, I think that's one bonus to this contract, and also that there's no like trade clauses or no move clauses either. So if the guy stinks, you could just dump him off on like a tanking team if there's a few years left on the contract.
Yeah, for sure. There is that. Another thing is you do, I guess maybe, you know, some people would have been like, why didn't we sign him for 3.7, 3.9, 4 flat? Oh, you had to buy a couple years of UFA too. That's something that constantly gets brought up when it comes to players signing longer extensions, especially, you know, some of the older RFAs. But in this instance, yeah, you bought a couple RFA years. So, you know, I'm happy with it. Again, he surprised me from where I thought he was. And it wasn't necessarily Samuelson as, like, the player is I really wanted a forward. And if we got a defenseman, I was still looking for skill. We did get Dahlin, but I was still looking for skill. But that, you know, that just kind of teaches you to not write players off. You know, I've kind of learned that with some of the other players like Quinn and Power. They weren't exactly my first choices, but I wasn't as, I can't believe we drafted this guy. And it's kind of turned out for the better. So, perfect segue. I'm going to pat myself on the back there. Quinn and Paterka have made the 2022-2023 roster. One thing I will add before I let you kind of talk about both those players is just remember last year with J.J. Paterka. It didn't start well. It really didn't. He was struggling offensively. Defensively, I mean, it just wasn't great. I mean, no one was really great on Rochester, so what am I even talking about there? But just give him time. Quinn might, you know, outperform him, or who knows, maybe they both struggle or whatever. But with Paterka, give it some time because he needed that time last year. And so I just want to heed that warning. And I would expect probably that bottom six to kind of like rotate a bit in the beginning of the season. So I think he'll see some time, but I'm kind of hoping Granato picks his spots and kind of finds some spaces in the lineup and against some teams that he might thrive a little bit more than some other games. So what do you think about those two making the roster? We'll talk about guys that were left off or kept on as well, but those two specifically, Jack Quinn and J.J. Paterka.
Yeah, man, I think it's overdue that they both made the roster. I think Jack Quinn's in a much better spot to produce, even though he's not even on the second power play unit, but I really like his line at 5-on-5. I mean, just getting paired with two players that, I mean, have been featured in the Sabres top six for a while. I mean, I really can't say the same about Paterka's spot. And that's probably my least favorite line in the Sabres lineup is that Cousins, Paterka, Krebs line.
Yeah.
I just think there's like,
seems like a lot of risk
rebounded a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of risk for like some reward, but just not enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, they had their flashes in preseason, but it's just like really just a lack of defensive responsibility, and I don't think the offense is exactly good enough to just throw them out as a line that could get like crushed defensively. So I mean, I don't know. I feel like the Sabres have a line like this every year that just gets absolutely crushed, and then the whole second half of the season is fumbling around trying to mix lines to spread out the wealth, and then it turns into another mediocre season. But hopefully that doesn't happen this year.
Oh, you're killing me. No, I mean, it doesn't exactly mean like these are going to be the lines that stick. Who knows? Like, Kyle Pozo could end up tearing it up on like a second line, and they're like, all right, well, we're just going to keep running with this, I guess. And I don't know. I think there's some flexibility there, so I wouldn't put too much into it.
Free Vinny Hinostroza.
Free Vinny Hinostroza.
I say just toss him on a line with some of the young players. I mean, I feel like he's a better choice than a lot of the young guys on a line, even though I'm very pro playing young players like Paterka and Krebs. But I mean,
well, he's one of those.
I'd be shocked if Hinostroza is better than a few of those guys right now.
Oh, absolutely. I think that would be. I don't know. I mean, you could have that debate for sure, but I think he is just because of his, you know, experience at this point. And he's more of a proven commodity. I mean, we saw it last year and years before and whatnot. I think that's more or less what I'm getting at when I say there's going to be some kind of rotation in the bottom six. You know, I think Hinostroza is going to replace Paterka. I think, you know, maybe, you know, Krebs might sit a game or something like that if he, you know, maybe gets caved in defensively and they just kind of want to try something else out, or who knows. I mean, obviously injuries will at some point come up, unfortunately. I think let's just kind of talk about the entire roster, but we'll just get one player out of the way. I have been brutal towards this guy, and I feel kind of bad because behind the scenes, and of course, you know, you're only going to see like the good stuff mostly from like Sabres Embedded and other stuff like that. But Anders Bjork seems like an awesome dude. I'm sorry, I don't want you in this lineup. Again, like I'm sure he brings a lot to the team in the locker room, practice, and you know, prep and just being there and being a good teammate. But I'm sorry, I just don't see it. But I also think that, you know, Granato is good enough that he'll rotate him in too. So just wanted to get your thoughts more on that fringe, because I think most people just kind of, you know, talk Skinner and like, we don't really need to go over them too much just because we already kind of know what we're going to get, but it's Pilot getting left off, or, you know, all the youngsters, you know, maybe you wanted to see Rusek get a chance, or Weisbach, you know, get a couple games before getting sent down or something. I know some of these are paper, you know, moves, and just because there's waivers and things of that nature. But when it comes to guys like Pilot and some of the other fours that might have been able to claw out a spot, what were your thoughts on that through the preseason, training camp, where we're at now? I know that they had to give a couple spots. Didn't have to give, but they were going to be earned by Paterka and Quinn, so that kind of limited things. But some of the other guys that are like right there on the cusp, Brett Murray, there's another name that they really like in that organization. What are your thoughts on some of those players that were just right there that are in Rochester? They're definitely going to see some time with Buffalo. Again, unfortunately, injuries happen, but as of right now, they're starting in Rochester.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the battles in training camp are kind of like predetermined based off like contract status and whether the player is waiver eligible or not. I really don't see this past preseason as a true roster battle, like an open roster battle where every spot's up for grabs.
Yeah.
Because, I think a guy like Lucas Rusek, just watching him in his preseason games, like, I don't know how he doesn't get a look until like the last day of camp, like the last day of sendowns. I thought he was probably the Sabres' best forward in some of the nights he played, even though he didn't really play with the full NHL roster. He still played with guys around his roster now, and he was arguably the best forward in some of those games. And then I look at a guy like Lawrence Pilot. I know with him, I feel like that situation with Fitzgerald definitely came down to the fact that Lawrence Pilot has five more NHL games until he has to pass through waivers. Fitzgerald has to pass through waivers right now. Pie goes to the guy that doesn't have to pass through waivers. So I think, really just a Pilot. I just think he brings so much to the table in terms of like his deception, the way he moves in transition. I mean, the last time he got a good chunk of games in the NHL and Corey Snyder's tracking data, he was one of the top transition players or top transition defensemen in the entire NHL. I mean, right up there with Rasmus Dahlin.
I'm glad you said.
I just feel like a guy like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Please.
Basically, I'm just really glad we're so polite here at the Sabermetrics podcast. We could go back and forth for 5 minutes saying, no, please, you go. No, yeah. I insist. I'm just really glad you mentioned his deception, because that is like a big part of his game. You can see it, especially live.
Yeah.
It's not something that's razzle dazzle in a sense, but it's just enough to throw a guy off or think he's going one way and go the other, that he's able to get his step. And he has like, he's not the most explosive skater, but with that deception, it helps for sure. And I think he has a good vision. I mean, like his ability to kind of like walk the line and again, be deceptive in a sense where he might move his hips in a certain way, but he's still able to, you know, open up space and get to where he wants to go. I don't know if I'm describing that exactly how I want to, but I'm just glad you mentioned that, because that is a big part of his game. And this is, again, like a specific role that needs to be played, because you know what you're going to get with Fitzgerald. He's just not going to take any shit from anyone. All right. That's just what's going to happen. Like he's fighting all comers. And with Jacob Bryson, you're getting that dude can zoom up and down the left side of that, the left side wall, essentially from defense to offensive zone. But you're not going to see a ton of offense, and he might get caved in defensively. And so it's all about, again, contract status, which is unfortunate, but there's also what can this guy bring to the lineup, and injuries and guys not playing well or guys sick or, you know, whatever might come up. I think it's important to keep tabs on, especially guys like Pilot and Brett Murray and those guys that are right there on the fringe. And not only about, of course they're producing in Rochester. That's great. But it's how are they playing within like where they would be if they were playing with Buffalo? Because yeah, Brett Murray might be a second line player for the Sabres and Pilot's probably going to be a top defenseman. And yeah, it's going to bring a lot of points, but when you get to Buffalo, you're going to be a third pairing defenseman. You're going to be a fourth line player. Like, what can you bring in those roles that, you know, might be different than Rochester because you're like the scorer. You're the guy that's constantly getting double shifted or something like that. So that's kind of my spiel on Pilot and some of those other guys that are there. Is there anything else about, you know, like some of the younger guys when it comes to Rochester? And I mean, I'll still call Brett Murray a younger guy, even though he's not necessarily one there. Malcolm Subban, I guess we should maybe talk about goaltending. Now it's another topic I wanted to bring up. If you need to mention anything on those guys that I was talking about, please do after. But when it comes to Malcolm Subban, super bummer this guy's hurt. Again, hopefully it's nothing too bad. But I liked what Kevin Adams said, where like they made sure Malcolm Subban knew how important he was to the team. In a sense of like, yeah, you're going to help us develop and like you bring the kind of culture that we want to cultivate in our organization, not only in the Sabres locker room, but in Rochester too. I think that's really important. And I think that was good of him to say that. And I think, you know, Malcolm Subban, great pipes. We need more singing. But he's also, you know, a good person to back up UPL and kind of, you know, Some games aren't going to be exactly easy. I mean, unless we think Rochester is going to completely switch how they play defense, he might have some rough nights. And having someone like Malcolm Subban is going to be a lot better than having someone that's stoic and like, I'm coming for your freaking job, pal. Like, yeah, of course, Subban's going to try to do that, but it just doesn't strike me as that kind of person. So I just wanted to get your thoughts, not only on those players of, you know, younger Weisbach and I would probably think Weisbach and Murray and Byro would get calls before guys like Kulich and definitely Kisikov and Rosin for sure, but things of that nature. So any thoughts on those guys and the goaltending in Rochester? I will be there Friday. I'm going to be there with some friends, so if you spot me in the crowd, don't come up to me. I'm too awkward to carry on a conversation, as you can probably tell. No, if you end up seeing me for some reason, come up, say hi. That would be great. But I'll be there. Are you going to be there tomorrow, or if you're listening to this Thursday, you're going to be there tonight?
Yeah, I'll be at the game. I'll be wearing my
Eichel jersey,
white Curtis Brown jersey.
Oh, let's go, big. let's get back to the, you know, Amerks and goaltending. I mean, any real thoughts on what's going on there with UPL and Subban?
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like Malcolm Subban's really dedicated this organization. I mean, I know he's taking a decent pay cut to stay with the Sabres, but I mean, also, I don't think he would have been able to get a one-way contract out of the organization. So, I mean, he's just a great guy to have around. And I mean, I know we're just coming out talking about training camp battles. I personally thought UPL is the Sabres' best goalie in preseason. And, I mean, most of the statistics back up that statement as well. And, I mean, I think it's a real bummer for him not to get a shot at least the NHL backup role at this stage of his development. But with Anderson only on a one-year deal, I mean, maybe next year is a year where he can become a full-time NHLer. And I know they're really big on getting him games down in Rochester, so I think it will come with time, but I mean, he's really looked sharp. He's looked a lot more consistent than he usually has. I mean, one of his greatest struggles in his development has been both injuries and his inconsistency, but I mean, he looked great to end the season with Rochester before his season ended with an injury. I mean, he looked great in the preseason. He looked great in his time in the NHL last season, and that also ended with an injury. But I mean, the times where he's healthy recently, he's been looking pretty on his game, and he's kind of an exciting development piece to keep an eye on just because of the physical traits with his size and his mobility down low in the crease. I mean, side to side is just pretty remarkable. I mean, I believe it was like the Washington game last year where he made like an insane acrobatic save. Really just with that side to side movement and his size is pretty remarkable. So I think there's still some potential with him despite his age. I mean, goalies are always weird, but Yeah, I mean, I personally thought if training camp was an open battle, you throw contract situations out the window. I think UPL's the Sabres starting goalie on opening night.
Okay. All right. Well, I will post a defense for Eric Comrie. And something that came out where I think Kevin Adams said it because Granato didn't. But Comrie went and was like, hey, there's times in preseason where we're going to have like a not great roster and we're going to be on the road and it's going to be, a little ugly. Play me in those games. He did it twice, apparently. And one of those was against Pittsburgh. And I kid you not, I saw more than a handful of people saying this Eric Comrie guy sucks. Our goaltending's in shambles, all this stuff. First of all, it's preseason. Shut up. Second of all, did you see that lineup that was playing against Crosby and like the starters for Pittsburgh? Like they're like the most points that was produced by like a player on that was either like Cousins or like Krebs or something. Like Sabres were barely running an NHL roster to begin with. I mean, half the defensive core that was playing in that game got sent down immediately after. Like I could not believe I was actually seeing that. And I don't know if it was satire because like I can't read satire. Apparently, it just goes right over my head, which probably shouldn't reveal that, but here we are. I just, man, I was like, you got to give the guy some freaking time. I agree that UPL did look the best. I just, it keeps bringing me back to why is Anderson here? Like, he's a great guy. I
Yeah.
just, I don't, I just, I don't necessarily get it. I'm not like, incredibly upset and saying like that you guys are tarnishing what's going on here. I totally understand wanting to get UPL games and doing that in Rochester because you just, it's probably just not going to happen in Buffalo as well as it can happen in Rochester. But I don't know. I just, it's
Yeah.
tough.
I mean,
It's,
I was gonna say like
especially if UPL tears it up. That's all I want to say is especially if he's
Yeah.
tearing it up in Rochester. A couple months in, people are going to be like, what are we doing here? Especially if Anderson struggles too. You add those two together. Oh, man. And I like Anderson. This is nothing against him. That's the problem. I hate saying stuff about like this kind of stuff about players I genuinely like. And it's just, I just don't necessarily understand why he's here besides being a placeholder because they don't want UPL to be a backup. I'm sorry to interrupt. Please go ahead.
Oh no, I was interrupting you. I mean, once again, this is the polite
Oh,
Sabermetrics
oh, sorry.
podcast. Yeah, but I was gonna say, like, I mean, I thought that the one situation where they put UPL in Rochester is that they're like kind of, I'm not willing to put in a risky goalie combo, but I mean, they signed Eric Comrie, who has 27 career NHL games, to be kind of their starting goaltender. They brought back Anderson,
Yeah,
who's
I mean.
when he was drafted to the NHL, the Sabres goalie. I mean, Anderson was drafted by the Flames, but the Sabres goalie at the time of the NHL draft was Dominik Hasek. I mean, that's how old this guy is.
Yeah, I mean, and like goalies are a little bit, it's a little bit easier for goalies to be like older and play and be more solid than some of the older players. I
It's
just,
just the health, I feel like.
yeah,
That's.
it's that. I mean, again, I would hate for this to be another season where Michael Hauser's getting more than a couple starts. Like,
Yeah,
I
they're playing
mean,
Stefano Lekas as a backup or whoever that
yeah, man, like
guy
I mean, Anderson unfortunately is just kind of getting up there and injuries happen. UPL's injury prone. Malcolm Subban is literally already injured. I mean,
was.
Eric Comrie
Yeah.
takes one rough shot in just the wrong place and again, you're really in it again and it's just I don't know what the solution
Signing
was and
Devin Levi early.
yeah, exactly. I mean,
The
call him
Jack
up on
LaFontaine with.
I mean, I would, hey, pull the, what did they do that with Brendan Gooley when they called him up early or whatever, on emergency
Oh yeah, I
basis?
mean yeah, you could do that with CHL guys, but I mean
Yeah.
that's a problem. The Sabres need a CHL
Well, and
goaltender.
one,
Maybe they could sign Beck Warm or something.
yeah, something like that. I mean, well, the one thing is that I wanted to mention is UPL is kind of like the forgotten prospect just because there is Devin Levi and Eric Portillo. He has always obviously been part of the conversation, but people have soured on him a bit, and which is fair. I mean, it wasn't exactly what you were looking for, especially after that what junior season where he absolutely tore it up. Things kind of fell by the
Yeah,
wayside
the
there.
double hip surgery after.
Yep, double
That's
hip surgery.
wild
But
development arc.
you got Devin Levi, who's, oh my God, has he letting a goal since Nam? I mean, I don't know what's going on over there. I just know that his
Yeah,
save
that guy's
percentage is
just
ridiculous.
insane.
And then you have Eric Portillo, who is smarter than you and is going to go somewhere else. No, I'm just kidding. That was the rumor. I don't want to. Yeah, that was a rumor on the street that he's kind of like pompous in a sense. My apologies. My mic just absolutely cut out there, but that's going to be edited in post-production, so people aren't really going to hear anything other than you just responding there. But that was really weird. I don't know what just happened. Lights just turned off, and I got scared.
You disappeared.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, poof. You know, you were so nice that I was like, I'm out of here. So the sides of the argument when it comes to captaincy was kind of like done away pretty quickly. And I was one of those guys. I was just like, Pozo, like, you're only here for one more year. Like, give it to Tuck. Like, he's going to be here longer. That was one of the things that I really switched on. And I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on not only who the captains are, but just like leadership in general when it comes to the Sabres going forward. So Pozo got the C, Girgensons and Dahlin's got, the assistant captain role. And I think it was just the right decision for all the reasons that have already been stated by everyone, but he's just a genuine guy. He's not really going to change. The experiences he's been through are able, like, especially some were real scary. I mean, like, he just has so much life experience to offer these young guys. I just think it was the right thing for them to do. And mostly because, Tuck, man, your time is going to come. I wouldn't even worry about that. And I'm sure he's the kind of guy that just genuinely isn't that concerned with it, because he's just going to be himself too. I feel like all these guys are. So let's just talk about the captains and what's going on this season. But I also kind of want to see what happens next season, the season after, because, I mean, even Adams was throwing out names like Mittelstadt and stuff like that when talking about, like, you know, other names we have so many guys that could have been given this. And it's just like, okay, I mean, you really have a lot of faith in them, and you know, that's good. You should in Mittelstadt, because, you know, if management doesn't have faith in you, I don't think fans should. But I mean, where does this go? Does Pozo sign another deal? I mean, he's 34 years old now. Does he maybe retire? And I would love for Pozo over a lot of other players, like more than Anderson when he's done, more than some other guys. I'm happy that they have Ellis and Weber and Pekka and all these other guys, but man, I would love to have Kyle Pozo around the Sabres after he's hung him up. That would be awesome to keep him around here in Buffalo and let his kids kind of grow up here and stuff. I think that would be great. So what are your thoughts on all of that, not only this year, but kind of going forward too?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing the Sabres organization finally figured out is that the captain figure in the locker room, I mean, really anyone that has played sports at any level could kind of attest to this, is that the captain in any locker room really just comes naturally. Like, I mean, everybody on the team knows who that guy is that they look to. I mean, that player that they look to, that's kind of like the leader of the team. And I think Kyle Pozo has been that guy for the Sabres. I mean, he's just like kind of like naturally became their leader over time. I mean, he's been with the organization pretty much forever. I mean, since the summer of 2016, so we're going on 6 years now. So, I mean, I think just off that fact alone, I mean, it just makes a ton of sense. And I think the other cool thing about Pozo too is that he's literally played every role that you can in the NHL. I mean, he's been that top prospect. I mean, he was a top 10 pick. He's been that first line forward, that 30 goal scorer. He's been that fourth line grinding forward. He's been that guy that had a season end with injury. He's been really everything you can be at the NHL level. So it's just pretty neat. So I think from that fact, I think he's the perfect guy for captain.
Yeah, and I agree. I think with all three of them, with Pozo, Girgensons, and Dahlin, they're all like a little bit quieter, but it was always those guys. Like, I was a chatty person, so like when I would say stuff, it didn't land as much in the locker room. And like, we were also kids, so why, it's not that big of a deal, honestly. But you know those guys, a little bit more quiet.
Yeah.
But when they speak, you're like, okay, well. That's what's going on here. And that's kind of what I, especially like Pozo, sure, Dahlin, yeah, definitely. I'm sure they're like, oh crap, this kid. But I think Girgensons, I feel like he's one of those quiet dudes that everyone loves, but man, if he comes in and he says something, I feel like he's one of those guys you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Maybe it's just tattoo.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's just because he's just like, Maybe just because he's just kind of like a, not intimidating, but just kind of like a, he's just quiet. You know what I mean? And he's just got to be, got to be careful of the quiet ones, man. He can,
he's got that Latvian presence.
Yeah. That just, you know, that Eastern European, like, I dare you. I dare you. So let's get into some like fun predictions and stuff like that. First let's go with, and I know it's a, you can kind of go by, like, depending on, you know, who goes down with injury or, you know, who gets set. Who do you think for, I mean, goaltending, it's no-brainer. It's going to be UPL. And, frankly, Pilot's going to be a no-brainer, too. But besides Pilot and UPL, who do you think are going to be the call-ups from the Amerks first? For forwards, defense, and, I mean, goaltending doesn't... That doesn't count, so we're not doing that. Just for forwards and goaltend, or forwards and defense. My gosh.
Yes, I mean outside. I mean the names you just mentioned. I'd say for forward, I'm going to go with Brandon Biro and Lucas Rusek. I think those are two guys that they absolutely love down in Rochester. I mean, both those guys had impressive preseasons up with the Sabres too. So I think there's more than a few forwards that go down. I can see those two guys being the first names that get a call up. And I mean, even a guy like Sean Malone, he's a guy at the Sabres staff love like a lot. I mean, yeah, he even got a NHL game with Nashville a few seasons ago. Mm-hmm. So I mean, maybe he's a guy with a few guys fall down that forward group, he'd get the call up. And then at defense, I mean, I know a lot of people say like Oskari Lax are gonna be the first call up. In my mind, I don't think so. I think it's going to be Chase Prisky. Oh. I think he's a guy that had just a fantastic preseason. I mean, he was so good in Milwaukee the past few years in the AHL and the Predator system. I think there's still a lot left with him, really just in terms of development. I mean, I think he can maybe be a depth NHL defenseman someday. So I think he's the guy, in my mind, that will get the first call-up if the Sabres have a defenseman that go down outside of Lawrence Pilot.
I was going to go with Cal Clegg, but fair enough.
I like it.
I won't give you too much. You know, and this one's, I wouldn't say first call up, but you know who I think? You know, and it might almost just be like kind of an award, and I don't even know if he signed like a one-way deal or like a to be able to play for the Sabres, like an NHL deal. Michael Mersch. I feel like at some point they're probably going to be like, look, man, I mean, I think it might be one of those situations if the Sabres kind of get hit with like that injury bug, or, and you know, maybe some guys are out with like the flu or something like that. Like, you know, a couple long term injuries and a couple short term ones come up, and you need a couple guys, you know, like a handful, you know, like a line and some change, like four forwards and maybe a couple D or something like that to come up. I think Michael Marshall would be one of them because he just brings a veteran presence. Depending on, you know, who kind of goes down on the Sabres. Yeah, I mean, there's some left to be desired when it comes to his skill and skating and stuff like that. But, you know, he's going to be a fourth-line player for a game or two. So, I don't know. I wouldn't expect him to be the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth call-up. But, I don't know. Maybe keep an eye on that. That would be a cool story. And I'm all about the cool stories. We're here for the vibes.
Yeah, just on Prisky, I messed up before. He played for Charlotte, not Milwaukee. I got that mixed up with Jeremy Davies. Jeremy Davies.
Dare you. Milwaukee, yeah. How... dare you, Walt?
There's too many guys on Rochester.
This went from a kind and nice podcast, and now I'm just going to beat you up over that the entire time. So
yeah,
look what you did to yourself.
My NHL team's mixed up.
I mean, there's a couple of that. Ethan Prowl, he had games with the Sabres. He could get up there. Maybe
first career NHL goal, too. I think he was like, what was he, like 29? That was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, there's options down there. I mean, I'm always going to advocate for my boy Linus Weisbach to get some games, but
I mean, he's in the mix.
He really is. I mean,
he had a great preseason.
Yeah, he really did play well, and it wasn't like a, hey, I showed up this day and, you know, kind of like was petered off one day and then, you know, showed up the next. He was pretty consistent. I mean, I thought he was very good in the prospects game that we went to live. Again, it's a prospects game. And he's like the oldest dude on the ice, so he should look that way, but he did. And we'll see what happens in Rochester. I'll keep a close eye on him on Friday. Don't sleep for all the people that have been on that shtick for a while with me. I appreciate all. Anytime something happens, there's like a couple people on Twitter that will like shout me out or whatever, and I'm like, I freaking love you. Like, I'm so glad that this stuck at all. You know, it's just goofy. So, all right, we got some of that out of the way. Let's go. real heavy on the Sabres now. We've spent a good amount of time on the Amherst. Let's go with Atlantic Division, kind of look at a bigger scope and then and kind of dial it in. Atlantic Division, who do you think, how do you think that ranks up? I mean, you can kind of just throw like Tampa, Toronto, and Florida kind of up in the top, but where do you see it going from there? Because Boston start, if they could be on the you know, the decline. Detroit and Ottawa threw some money in free agency. Montreal, I have a feeling it's probably not going to go great for them, but just kind of wanted to see where your head's at with some of the teams that the Sabres will be playing the most this season.
I mean, I feel like this division's pretty tough for me because I think, like, a team like Toronto, I mean, their depth, it gets worse and worse each year as their contract situations Dude. Get worse. And I think you say the same about Tampa, too, honestly. Like,
yeah,
they're the guys they have locked up are getting older. I mean, a lot more so than Toronto because Toronto's still – at least they have money tied up younger players. Yeah. Tampa, a lot of their money's tied up in older players, and that depth at the same time is kind of drying up a bit. So it's like, I think maybe even a team like Boston could pull out the division win, or maybe, I mean, Florida too. I mean, I don't know. I feel like either of those four teams could win the division, and I would not be shocked.
Right. That's fair. I you know, it is kind of a toss-up in that top section. I think, you know, the Sabres are going to be in the fight with Ottawa and Detroit, and I personally think they'll end up right behind them. What do you think point total wise this year? I'm around like 80, like two in that general area, 82-ish kind of ballpark. Yeah. You know, is that kind of where you're at too?
Yeah, I was just going to say 83. I mean, I feel like that's a number that keeps popping up in my mind. I mean,
how
yeah.
dare you? I am so sick of you, man. No, no, that's yeah. That's
it's, from winning the prize.
Yeah, exactly. that's yeah. That's about right. And I think that's again an improvement. But these people that are looking for like 20-point swings from last year, it's like, all right, easy now. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so rare in the NHL. And I mean, they were playing the same rosters last year.
It would be awesome. Like, this is not me saying I don't want it to happen. Holy crap. I'd love for them to be the best team in the NHL. That'd be sweet. But
I'm not editor in Sabre. I'm not going to toss out like a 95-point prediction for
that's,
a team
that's
that
satire.
Teenager.
That is 100% satire, yeah. Right? In mocking
my favorite account,
the
though.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah. I love it every single time. But like, some people are still like, is he serious? And I'm like, it's gotten to the point where I'm like, so many people have still asked, and I'm like, wait, actually, they might have a point here. So, again, pretty gullible, so I don't really, shouldn't have even made that public knowledge, excuse me. But, yeah, let's let's move on, man. I'm really just digging myself a hole over here. People are really going to, I'm too awkward to talk in public, apparently, to people if they came up to me in a game, and I'm very gullible. So, I feel like people can kind of really mess with me. Yeah, this guy is a complete mess. Unbelievable. How dare me? Anyway, when it comes to the Sabres, who do you think? We did some of this, but let's just readdress it just for funsies. Who do you think is going to be kind of not the team MVP, but like the unsung hero in the sense of, yeah, it's not just going to be like a heart and soul guy that everyone loves and, you know, like it's a great locker room guy, but like produces well, but is also kind of like does the dirty work too. Like the nice little medium there. Who do you think that might be?
I feel like I want to go Rasmus Asplund, but I feel like he's already not underrated by a lot of Sabres fans just because of the defensive impacts he put up last season. So I'm going to go with the guy's not even on the roster now. I guess I'll go with Lawrence Pilot. Wow. See, I mean, every time that guy's out on the ice, he puts up great defensive impacts, not necessarily because he's a high-end defensive player, but when he's on the ice, just the other team doesn't get the puck. I mean, he's such a good transition guy that you don't get those lousy turnovers that lead to high-end scoring chances. And I mean, he's good enough in transition where the team's able to get the puck in the offensive zone in a good spot and set up an offensive sequence. So I think a guy like him, I think his skill set's just wildly underrated. I mean, obviously since he's starting the season in Rochester and he's in his mid-20s, but I'm going to go with Lawrence Pilot. I think when he gets a chance, I think he's going to impress. I mean, like he already has so far in his NHL career.
Biggest surprise, whether that's good, bad, someone being incredibly average, who knows? Your biggest surprise, and this is like a prediction, you think this will happen. Who do you think is going to, you know, knock it out of the park, or who do you think is really going to struggle? I don't. Let's try to keep it with, you know, actual surprise. Where, like, if you say like Pilot coming up to the Sabres and playing well, it's like, well, yeah. I mean, we just kind of said he would. So, you know, what do you think would be the biggest surprise? I'm actually trying to cook up one up myself. So I'm asking you a question I don't even have an answer to.
I think, I mean, for me, this one is tough. I was going to go with like a Dylan Cousins goal total type thing, but okay. With the line he's on right now, I don't know how long he's going to stay on it. And I'm not that confident in his line where I'm willing to make like a goal total bet for him. So I think my hot take I'm going to go with, I think I'm going to go with a goalie one. I think I'm going to go Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I think he's going to be the Sabres starting goalie by April.
Okay. I'm going to go with Ilya Lyubushkin being a lot better, for some reason, being a lot better than people. You know, he's just kind of penciled in as like the fifth, sixth defenseman on that bottom pairing and just kind of just being a compliment to Bryson or Pilot. But I think he's going to have a decent impact. I think he's like he reminds me of Ilya Bryzgalov, except a little less weird. Like, he's a super happy, fun guy, but he's also, like, doesn't seem like he's, like, completely off his rocker, essentially. Man, I wish I could.
He's, like, such a likable guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think he has a little bit of, he has an offensive game, but it won't show up on the points. It's a lot of it coming out of his own zone and maybe in the neutral zone. I could be eating my words after a couple games or whatever, but I don't know. I have a feeling, and maybe just call it good vibes, that he's just, I think he's a like a cool person, kind of like a goofy, fun person, but I don't know. I feel like there's going to be, I think he's just going to mesh well. I think that was a sneaky good signing. Not going to be lights out top pairing defenseman, but I think he's going to be a lot better than people just assume, just because we haven't seen him all that much. And he was on Toronto and we hated Toronto, so we didn't watch them all that much. So when it comes to, I guess we're going to go to what you were talking about, goaltending, but Eric Comrie, I'm not going to go with how many games is he going to play. How many wins is he going to play? This is assuming he starts 55 games, something like that. Whenever I give like point projections or anything like that, I'm always assuming this player's playing 82 games. Every single game, this player's playing 82 games. We can't do that for goalies, so let's just keep it a standard. This goalie, he's a starter. Starters usually start, what, like 50 games is kind of a lot. 50 games, 55 games. What do you think his win total would be there?
Hey, I'll go 50 games, like 21 wins I'll go with. I think his preseason was extremely concerning, even though he didn't have a great defense, but I know, like, expected goal data in the NHL is not perfect. I mean, in terms of just pre-shot movement and all that, but
wasn't good.
He let in like in a lot more goals or two expected goals that last game. So, wow, he's just so interesting to me because he had such a good season last year in such a small sample, and we really don't know anything about him. I mean, really, this entire Sabres offseason can be defined as an offseason of sample size. I mean, we'll see. I don't know if it's like the analytics department pushing this or the GM, but Samuelson, Thompson, Comrie, all three pretty decent bets, all very reliant on good results in a small sample size.
That's very true. That's a good observation. Shock there. Walt had a good observation.
Thank you.
I think Sam Ventura was the guy who was like, when Kevin Adams kind of pressed on him, he was like, hey, you know, how do you know, like, he's ready to take this step? And he's like, well, I mean, you just kind of see he's gotten better every single year and the trajectory, but it's like, he was constantly with the Winnipeg organization. What kind of system did they play? You know, how did their defense communicate with the goaltending? How did that all work out? I mean, it's just, who knows? It could be a little bit more of a rough transition than expected. I don't know. I still have faith in him, and I would agree that I think UPL is going to have, like, a very good look by the end of the season. Like, yeah, man, like, this, it could be his net. But I think they're really going to try to ride out Comrie, even if he is struggling. I think they're just going to try to do it. I mean, they will do the ride a hot hand if Anderson's feeling good and it's not a back-to-back. You know, maybe they will, you know, kind of ride that kind of hot hand. But I don't know. I mean, I think there could be a couple games where it's pretty ugly in Comrie, and then you see him in the net the next night, and Granado's like, yeah, man, he's got to learn, and this is a development year, and this is what's going on, and let's see how they battle adversity. And I think that might happen a little bit more than people might like, and that's kind of why I don't really want them to get on Comrie or Granado. It's a development year, and so I don't know. I'm up in the air because I want the results, and like, he needs to do well. And again, like you said, small sample size, but at the same time, I'm trying to keep a lot of things in perspective and not set myself up for a lot of disappointment. So where do you kind of draw that line?
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously they believe a lot in Comrie because they're giving pretty much the reins to what seems like a kind of like a high end 1A, like more darts than your typical 1A type of role. And his sample last year is so good. I mean, if you look just based at like the publicly available expected goals against data, he saved more goals above expected than per 60 minutes than guys like Igor Shesterkin, who nearly won the Hart Trophy last year. So just thinking about that is pretty insane. But I mean, once again, that sample size is so tiny, but I mean, I'd honestly do anything in the world for this guy to be really good because he seems like such a fun player. I mean, he kind of reminds me of like a TV show character, like a cartoon character.
Oh, like Macaulay Culkin. I mean, yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. No, I'm just kidding.
It's like, if this guy's good, it would be so much fun.
I mean,
he just seems like such a fun guy.
I'm telling you, he sounds exactly like Macaulay Culkin. I'm telling you, man. And it's not a bad thing. Like, if it would be really weird if you got like offended by that or something like that, because like it's not, but it's just, it blew my mind. But yeah, I want him to be good too. I don't know. It's really tough being, again, it was like the same thing with Anderson. I don't want to be tough on this guy because I really like him, you know, like he's an awesome dude and he's done a lot for the Sabres already in the short amount of time he's been here, just being a good veteran for all these young guys. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't want to, especially because he hasn't really played any regular season games. It's kind of tough to start harping on him, so they're definitely not going to do that. But just, I don't know, keep an eye, just kind of, you know, they Granado could be in a tougher situation goaltending wise a lot sooner than he expects, and it might not be injury related. So let's keep an eye on that. Let's also keep an eye on, I mean, definitely those advanced stats to kind of give people a little better perspective, like, hey, was that actually on the defense, or should he probably have saved that? It really is not an exact science, but just try to keep that in perspective too when you're watching. Obviously not you, Walt, but anyone that's listening, and most people that are listening or like on Sabres Twitter, most people are pretty smart. So like, you don't really need to hear this, but just kind of keep in mind, like, yeah, I mean, that goal went in, but what the heck was Comrie supposed to do there? I usually try to, especially when you're playing on the ice, when you're on a hockey team, for the most part, I mean, unless you're on like a toxic hockey team, like, you guys are never blaming the goalie. If it's blatant, they're not going to go up to him and be like, you really screwed us there. But, you know, they know. But for the most part, they're most likely going to say, like, we could have done more there to prevent that.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to bring up, too, with just like kind of like expected goals against, like how I talked about before, like pre-shot movement and all of that stuff, that's really not, I mean, not even really not. That's just like not picked up at all in the publicly available data we have. I mean, really, just with the publicly available data that's produced, it's really just shot location and shot type. And, like, if it's a rebound or not could also be thrown in there. But it's not like the data that these teams have where it's like, oh, this shot came on, like, a two-on-one cross-ice pass from this area of the ice. That's a much better judge of how much or, like, what chance that shot was of being a goal. I mean, the private data is much better at that than the public data. So there can be some shortcomings in that data we have available. So like at the end of a game, it may not always be the perfect science to where this guy let in X goals more than expected. He played better than this guy who let in X less goals than expected. It's not always a perfect science with the data we have. So it's really just vibes at the end of the day, I feel like, with the data we have. I mean, I know some teams play a system where the data can be a bit more favorable or goalies. I know Cam Sharon on Twitter, who's a really good follow, he writes for The Athletic. He did a study on Carolina Hurricane goalies, why their numbers are always better once they arrive in Carolina compared to their previous teams. And it's really because Carolina allows guys to get shots from some dangerous areas. But with the way their coverage is, those shots aren't as dangerous as they seem because they've got guys back or the player's not able to get off a good enough shot as they usually can from that area. So Yeah, there's always smaller things like that with goalies, but I mean, that's the thing with Comrie. I mean, he dominated the publicly available data last year, but we have a team full of analytics guys that have access to that private team data that also liked him enough to give him a kind of 1A role at the Sabres. So it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of analytics bet with Comrie pays off in this upcoming season.
Do you think, I know there's kind of like a decent disparity where like a lot of the offense for the Sabres is coming on the power play, which, kind of as it should. That's why it's called a freaking power play. But do you see that improving this season? Do you see their 5-on-5 analytics? I mean, we're really starting to get in more like an analytics for the season, which, I mean, it is a Sabermetrics podcast, so it's about the Charging Buffalo. I mean, is that something is that something that you expect to see? Is it something you expect to see, like, take a decent hike, kind of gradual over time? What's your thoughts on just the general 5v5 play versus maybe special teams with the power play and penalty kill?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Sabres' biggest issue last year was definitely creating offense, and they didn't have a problem entering the zone. The problem was when entering the zone, they really didn't create much danger after entering the zone. And for the most part, that can be attributed to like an inexperience issue or a talent issue. I mean, it's really just the better, more experienced, more talented players are better at entering the zone and getting the pucks to more dangerous areas of the ice. And I do think they have guys that, I mean, have a year more of NHL development under their belt, like Cousins, like Krebs. But also, I look at guys like Owen Power and even Jack Quinn to an extent. I mean, if you just watch Owen Power play the game, he's naturally inclined to getting the puck towards more dangerous areas of the ice, and he'll do it in any way possible. And I mean, it's pretty fun to watch for a defenseman that's still only 19 years old. I think just having a guy like him on the blue line getting a decent amount of minutes at 5-on-5, I think, will be a huge boost to their analytics numbers, like their expected goals for percentage and whatnot. And even a guy like Jack Quinn, he had that one preseason game. I forgot who the opponent was, but he made that really slick move where he didn't make the quick pass and instead cut towards the center of the ice and got that shot off. Just having guys who can do stuff like that in their system will also help turn zone entries into more dangerous chances because just having the skill to pull off a move like that, I mean, really just the wherewithal, the IQ to pull off a move like that, such a big advantage. And I mean,
Yeah.
that comes with adding more talented players. I think we'll see a difference there.
The one thing about that Jack Quinn thing is if this was like 10 years ago, Jack Quinn would be like, he would be hurt. Like
Yeah.
you came down the ice and you cut across the middle. Like when I was playing
Yeah.
hockey back in the day, poorly, I should add. But when I was playing, that's what I was looking for. I almost took off it. We were playing our rival. I almost took off this kid's head because he decided to cut right across the blue line and I was coming back. I was a defenseman and they put me on the power play in front of the net for some reason. I don't know why. But this kid decides, he's like, oh, I'm going to cut across the blue line. The last second he saw me, I was going for him too because this is our rival. I'm trying to plant this kid. Last second, he just dodges me and I like clip his shoulder and he spins a bunch and like falls a little bit. But if I hit him square, I probably would have been hurt by hitting him. And like, I don't know. It just that's concerned me just a little bit. I mean, the NHL has changed a little bit, and I'm glad. It almost seemed like the guy that could have hit him was like essentially like, I think he was gonna like drop it to the guy who was cutting behind him. But just, ugh. I mean, it's a different NHL, it's a different time, but I still just get, man, if you cut across the middle like that, keep your head up. That's all I'm gonna say. So, I agree. I think, I don't know. I'm not trying to keep my expectations too low with him because he does deserve to have the high expectations, but I man, something about Owen Power just strikes me as like this is gonna be a year for him. And like this is his rookie season. I think he's gonna surprise everyone, including me, including some of his teammates and just the way he's going to be able to handle the entire season. This is a long season, man. I mean, yeah, you play a couple games back to back, but in college, but then you have the entire week to chill out. I mean, you're playing. I was looking at their schedule. There's some times where they're playing like 7 games in like 10 days or something like that. Or I'm not. I might not be precise, but I think he's going to do better as a rookie than most do, and especially when it comes to that, like mid-season lull or like pushing towards the end of season lull, yeah, he might not be producing a ton, but I still think he's going to be real solid defensively, or at least like you mentioned, or making the smart play, or just even picking up on mistakes that he was making on earlier in the year, because it just seems like he's kind of one of those guys that's a, you know, kind of like a little bit of like a nerd when it comes to playing the game, and he constantly is, you know, watching film. At least that's what I've been, I've gathered and some of the stuff I've read and heard. So I don't know. I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on too. It's almost like people aren't talking about him as much just because, I don't know, just because there are other storylines and Dahlin is kind of like the more offensive guy, but I don't know, man. I really think he's going to solidify himself as like a top four defenseman already. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic about it because I know he's going to have his struggles, and there are going to be times where it's just like, dude, he might not even should be in the lineup tonight. But again, I have the faith in him as like a cerebral player in a sense where like he'll pick up on his mistakes. I'm just hoping that he's able to process as quickly as, you know, some of the plays are being developed in front of him. The whole, I hope he's not Rasmus Ristolainen, because he, again, Ristolainen had all the physical traits, but again, just the hockey sense just wasn't there. And I, you know, I'm not trying to compare Owen Power and Rasmus Ristolainen in that sense, but it's an example. I hope that translates as well, because obviously he has the physical tools and he has the desire to be the best. And again, you have someone like Dahlin on the back end, and they're both competitive guys and stuff. I think they're just going to push each other. It's kind of the old, you had Marty Biron backing up Ryan Miller. Well, Ryan Miller's going to play out of his freaking skull because Marty Biron's going to step in there, and he's essentially like a starter himself. So it's just kind of the same thing there. And those are my thoughts on Owen Power and some of those guys back there.
Yeah, I mean, really, the other thing I love about Owen Power, too, is he's like a Daryl Belfry disciple. And for those that don't know, Belfry's like one of the top skills coaches for NHL players. I mean, he worked really closely with Patrick Kane as he kind of grew up into an NHL player. And he's also worked really closely with Matt Ellis, who's in the Sabres organization, as well as Dan Girardi. And then Owen Power, too. He worked a lot with developing his game, kind of figuring out the way he thinks the game and how to make him the most effective player. So I think the fact that Owen Power is like kind of like a disciple from that kind of tree of Daryl Belfry players, I think is pretty encouraging. And yeah, I mean, Belfry's like, he's like the definition of like a hockey tactics, hockey skill development nerd. So really having a guy like Owen Power, who's like such a big Daryl Belfry guy, is pretty exciting to see, because I mean, I don't think there's a better skills development coach out there that gets more out of talented players than Daryl Belfry.
I mean, that's key. I mean, that's like we saw jumps with players last year. It was Tage over the summer, and we're hoping that this year it's going to be Dylan Cousins. And if, you know, Owen Power can make those jumps as well. Even Casey, yeah. I mean, like,
they set him up for that Tage jump with his line mates.
Dude, if Casey goes out there and just absolutely tears it up, like, I think you can still go to him when it comes to, like, maybe like another contract and be like, hey, man, I mean, you're still kind of unproven, but, like, you did do well enough that we want to sign you kind of thing, and, you know, the fans are kind of behind him too. So, I don't know. I really want him to do well. I know haven't necessarily been the easiest on him, Walt. But
I liked him in the preseason. I thought he looked great. So yeah. I'm hopeful this year.
Yeah, he did. It was a period of it was a home game. I forget who they were playing. He just looked good. Good jump in his step. Looked like he was buzzing out there, and that's really all you're looking for at that point is him just to look like he fits on, you know, a middle six line and is able to produce. And like you said, he's put into a position where he should. So here is a Sabermetrics podcast first. Well, you don't even know I'm doing this, so you're going to be surprised as everyone else. The Charge and Buffalo have themselves a sponsor. And the only reason I bring this up is because I actually like care about this sponsor. If it was like something about like paper clips, if we were like a sponsorship for like Staples, I wouldn't be saying anything. But this year, Picasso's Pizza and wings and subs and all that good stuff, they're sponsoring the Charging Buffalo. I just want to mention that just because I love Picasso's. Like, it's good pizza, man. It's just good food.
Oh, yeah.
I just
top pizza in Western New York.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're just, you know, not. It's not, I can't say, like, it is a shameless plug, but it's not like, we're lying. It's like genuinely good and we like it. So that's why the Charging Buffalo matched up with them. So I know that is completely different from what we're talking about.
Statement.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You'll just see a lot of Picasso's on there.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's just good food and good comfort food, especially for hockey season, man. There's nothing like a nice winter night and having a big old pizza and some wings and, you know, some sandwiches and some friends over and some good brews. And yeah, man. I mean, I just, there's really no reason for it, like, that we aren't asked to say anything like this on the podcast or anything like that. We just genuinely like their stuff and their sponsor, so we appreciate them and go get their food because it's genuinely good and we enjoy it. Again, if this was like Staples or like some lawn care crap, I don't care, so I wouldn't have said anything. So I think that pretty much wraps it up. I mean, that's a pretty decent preview. I mean, it's a lot of it's just vibes, you know. I'm just here for the good vibes. Yeah. And I'm not expecting playoffs. Would love playoffs. I mean, the expectation, again, I've said it before earlier in this episode, you can expect playoffs without expecting playoffs. You want to hold the team to a standard. I totally get it. But at the same time, let's be realistic here. So I'm just here for the good vibes. Let's get Malcolm Subban singing some more songs. Walt, is there anything else this season that you're looking forward to besides all the stuff going on at the Charging Buffalo, your player previews, which again, that is coming out. Super excited to read that. Good luck trying to get me to do work when that comes out. I mean, is there anything else that's coming up in this season? We will keep an eye out for anyone throwing playing cards onto the ice this season. We're going to keep an eye on that for sure as well.
Yeah.
anything else that I have missed?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's kind of like a more hopeful season than last year, even though it's a similar crew of players. It's definitely just going to be, I think, a huge judgment season for a lot of players on the current roster and even maybe some of the front office staff. But yeah, man, really looking forward to how the Sabres play over the next week or two. And yeah, I mean, it feels weird to like genuinely be excited about a Sabres season rather than not like scared.
Okay, so I know this is a Sabres podcast and we don't talk about the Bills or whatever, but dude, I have been so uncomfortable all summer with the Bills are a Super Bowl favorite, Bills are a Super Bowl favorite, and all that stuff. Like, it's such uncharted territory.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I just hope we make the playoffs and then we can take it from there. Like, you know what I mean? It's just a weird, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just like way overcompensated to try to like not be let down in a sense, but
no, yeah.
I don't,
it's definitely
weird. It's weird, man. It feels weird. Maybe just because they stunk for so long, but I don't know. All I'm looking forward to is good vibes. Appreciate everyone that's listened to this. We're going to keep it going. There's a lot more stuff coming out from the Charging Buffalo, whether it's, you know, consistent stuff that you've been seeing for years with podcasts and newsletters and all that stuff. We're going to have some new stuff coming out for the Charging Buffalo that hasn't been released to the public as well, which is exciting. So just, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So, you know, keep your eyes peeled and we'll obviously keep you posted on this podcast, which is the Sabermetrics Podcast, hosted by the Charging Buffalo and sponsored by Picasso's. Go grab yourself a slice. My name is Bill. Alongside me is Walt. We'll catch you on the next one.